Amen. I have been redeemed. It is truly good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth with those of precious like faith. On this morning, if you are here and you are not a child of God, the opportunity will be given to you and is already given to you, that through the course of preaching God's word and you hearing God's word, and if you decide that you want to turn your life over to God, have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism, we give you that opportunity to do so. For we have no idea on when our life will end. So let's not pass the opportunity by to do the things in which God would be pleased with. On this morning, I want to talk to you or preach to you a sermon about nothing. And some of you probably say, Brother Spencer, you've been here for 3 or 4 weeks and that's all you talk about is nothing. Well, I'm going to continue to do so because the nothing that comes to something is what's going to save all of our souls. Brother Theotis read from the book of Genesis chapter 1. But before we get there, we need to do this. I know a lot of us don't like school, and math was one of my worst subjects. But as you see and that's all messed up, nothing was supposed to come later, I give you the answer. That's the way the Bible is. It gives you the answer. I know this is not in the Bible, but it's simple math. 99 plus 1 equals 100, minus 5 plus 1, plus 9 plus 6, minus 6, or minus 9 times 64 plus 1 times 0. The answer is nothing. What is your life? James says it's nothing but a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanished away. So we need to get right with our God. We need to understand what the Bible says about nothing. God created the world from nothing. That's God. We can't do anything like that, can we? We serve a powerful God, an almighty God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, it says, the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the earth, of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Do you see the nothing there? Without. It was void. Nothing. But God said there in verse 3, let there be light. And it was. How did God do this? Well, the Bible says in Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9, Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9, I'm going to read verse 8 and you see verse 9 up on the screen there. Psalm 33, verse 8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. God did this from nothing. His voice, He spoke these things into existence. It's a powerful God we serve. He created the world from nothing. What do you think He can do with you? You're already in the world. What do you think God can do with you? It's only, you know, a lot of us, all we need is just a little bit of tweaking to get our lives in order. Our sin that we commit is not so bad that God can't do something with you. Story after story after story, Brother Ollie could tell you about his life. But look what God has done with him. He's an elder of the Lord's church. He came from nothing, but now he's something or somebody. My wife is looking at me like, how you know about Brother Ollie's life? Brother Ollie wasn't born a Christian. He had to be obedient to the gospel. He had to make something out of nothing, and he could only do that with God. The cross, it brought to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You know, it's very simple. The preaching of God's word, it needs to be done. And there are some people out there that think that they're so wise, so much smarter than everybody else. But it's by the foolishness of preaching that individuals understand what they must do and how they must do these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the verses 18. I like to hear that sound. Although the scripture's up there, you still hear those pages turning. That's good, Brother Thanopoulos. You have that? Read it for us, brother.
For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God.
Foolishness. To whom? But those that are perishing, those that are living in sin, those that do not care about God's word. It's foolishness. They don't want to hear about God's word. They care about nothing. But you know, it says there, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. You know, Paul, as he writes, he continues to say and say again, time and time again, about the power of God. Talks about the word in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, is the power of God unto salvation. You know, we have to understand about the power of God. God can do any and everything. There in verse 19. Continue to read, brother.
For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.
I don't care how careful you are about God's word. I don't care about what you put your emphasis on. He said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. So we have some very, very smart people who will never come to the realization and understanding or the acceptance of God's word. They're going to perish. They're going to have to give an account of their sins. They're going to have to give an account of their rejection of God's word. Rejection not of us, but of the Son of God who came to save us. They're going to have to give an account. They will be brought down to nothing. Now, we don't like for people to tell us that we're worthless. We don't want to hear people tell us that we're worth nothing. Well, the truth is the truth. Some of us, we're not. We're not worth anything. But with God, guess what? We can have everything. So we need to accept His word. And we need to be who He wants us to be and understand that we are somebody. But without Christ, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. What do you mean? I got up this morning. You didn't get up on your own accord. Maybe your wife did reach over there and pop you up that head and say it's time to get up. Or the husband, you know, pull the covers off the wife and say it's time to get out of bed. But they didn't do that on their own accord. God gave them the strength to get up first. So therefore, they can do nothing on their own. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5. We need Jesus in our lives. And that's very simple. What we say about some people when they continue to act up so bad, we say they need Jesus. Yes, they need Jesus. But they need to accept who Jesus Christ is and put Him on through the watery grave of baptism. For Jesus says here in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Can't do anything. You go back to the slide that had the little math problem up there. Without Christ, we wouldn't have been able to solve that problem. Well, you said that Jesus, he formulated that math problem? No. But you know what he does? You know what God has done? He has allowed each one of us to awake this morning. Those that are in our right mind. That we may know the right from wrong. We may know what 1 + 1 is and continue to understand that without His Son, we can do nothing. But with Him, the Bible says we can bear much fruit. Much fruit. Much fruit. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Now we get several different type of people that call into the radio station. Some, they're talking about nothing. Some others are pointing toward God, but not really realizing what they're saying in reference to God. But Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." You either with me or you against me. Who are you with this morning? Well, what are you teaching this morning? Are you doing anything that God would be pleased with? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Or are you being the example that you need to be? Or are you being the people who God would have you to be? Without Him, you're nothing. You can do nothing. So we need to accept who Jesus is. And we need to understand that He wants us to be who we're supposed to be. Simple, isn't it? I don't care how much good you do. I believe Sister Linda said it this morning in Bible class. People come in here and they do the 5 acts of worship and they leave and they don't do anything. This is just the beginning. Sitting here, singing praises unto God, partaking of the communion, giving of your means, praying, and then listening to me preach a sermon about nothing. That's just the beginning. The work is just starting. These without love, they are nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Looking at verse 2. Brother Brian, read that for us.
"And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing."
Nothing. I didn't put that in red, did I? My bad. We all make mistakes, don't we? But you know, what we have to understand is that no matter what we do in this life, if we do not have love, we are nothing. Verse 3, Brother Brian.
"And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing."
I helped this man out alongside the way. You know, just the other day I went over and I helped this little old lady across the street. Did you do it with love? Or did you do it to have something to brag and boast about? I said, if you don't have love, it profits me nothing. I don't get anything from it. It's just like going to the bank and trying to get some money out and you didn't put any in. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get out? You're going to get nothing out. So you have to put something in order to get something out. So these without love, they are nothing. Just like faith without works is dead. Hearers and not doers of God's word, you are doing nothing. So we need to start focusing on what God wants us to do. We need to be who God wants us to be. Our life needs to be worth something. For we find here it says, saving the soul is good for nothing. learned something the other week or a month or so ago that seasonings have expiration dates on them. I didn't realize that. Didn't really care. A little salt and pepper, I'm good to go. But even salt and pepper, we find here that savory salt is good for nothing. And when you have something that's good for nothing, what is it good for? In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Now, I can see it already. There's a lot of ladies that's going to go home and start looking in their cabinets to see the expiration dates on their seasonings. You can still use them, although they expire. But if it doesn't give it the taste that you're desiring, you need to get rid of it and buy some more. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Are you good for anything this morning? You know, those brothers that stood behind this table and passed around the communion and passed around the collection plate. Are they good for anything? Are they good for anything? They're serving in the Lord's kingdom. Yes, they're good for something. But for those that set out in the pews and do nothing, old saying in the military, lead, follow, or get out of the way. And if you just stand around doing nothing, you're subject to be trampled. So therefore, we need to be active. We need to be doing what God is pleased with and not just sitting around doing nothing. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. So we want to say things that's going to please people, but we have to know how to say these things. You know, I can preach one way and it can be acceptable to you, and another man can come and preach another way and it can be acceptable to you. We can say the same thing, but you may not believe what I'm saying, but you may believe what he's saying. Well, it all boils down to you and the acceptance of God's word. But then also the speaker needs to understand what they're doing. He says here, Paul said, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer each one. Each one. That means these four brothers are sitting up here, each one of them, you have to give each one of them a different answer to what they're asking. Why? Because maybe they're on different levels. But you have to do this. The Bible says, season, let your speech be seasoned. Always be with grace. Don't speak harsh to people. Speak nice to people. Don't speak down to people. You know, Brother Mark, I appreciate him. When Brother Mark comes through that back door back there, Brother Mark, he stops, he shakes your hand, he's looking you dead in the eye. And you know what Brother Mark wants you to do? He wants you to look him back in his eye. Because a lot of times what we have a tendency to do when we speak to people, we have our heads down. Sister Abernathy, she comes back there and she stops and she waits. I quit talking to whoever I'm talking to so I can speak to her. You know, that's the way we need to be. But we don't do it in a harsh way. We do it in a meek and humble way, that people may understand who we are and what we're about. We are doing the things that God is pleased with. And we need to continue to live the way God would have us to live. But here's what we all worried about sometimes. I have all these things. What am I going to do with them? You know, we would carry nothing out of this world. Job said it, you know, naked I came, naked I was born, naked I died. I didn't bring nothing here and I'm not going to take anything with me. But in the end, what did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we understand that there's nothing we can carry out in this world. What we need to be doing is trying to get all that we can out of the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7. Just like some marriages. You didn't bring anything into it, and when you try to leave, you don't get to take anything out. Texas is a 50-50 state, though. I don't care what you bring in it, you get 50% when you get ready to leave it. But there shouldn't be anybody trying to leave. Everybody should be trying to stay together. Paul says here, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain I don't care how many rich people want to be buried in their Cadillacs. They didn't get to take it with them. When they stand before the judgment throne, God is not going to say, "Ooh, you have a nice Cadillac there. You can come in." No. He said, "We can carry nothing out. Nothing out." That's why you see these bumper stickers now. "I'm spending my children's inheritance." Parents already know. They can't take it with them, and when they leave it to their children, the children are going to do nothing with it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. This is why we teach our children to put God first. Put God first. If they put God first, everything else will be alright. Yes, you're gonna have ups and you're gonna have downs, but everything will be alright. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." You know, the question is asked sometimes, what do you get a man that has everything already? Did he get him some type of safe to keep all that stuff in? Because he's always worried about somebody coming in and stealing what he has. Sleeping with one eye open, always when he hear a sound, jumping up and looking out the window to see who it is. It's just like me in that office down there. Every time I hear a car pass, I get up and look and see who it is. Just nosy. But we need to understand, we can't take these things with us, so let's quit storing them up on this earth. For he said in verse 20, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." A thief cannot get into heaven. That's a good thing. When I get there, I don't have to worry about any thieves. If you a thief and you die a thief, I don't have to worry about you anymore. But while you're living, you still have time to change. Still have time to change. As nothing and yet possessing all things. See, we're rich. We're rich. Nothing but yet possessing all things. And I need to go back to one scripture in particular here in this Romans chapter 8, verse 35, 38, and 39. I know it wasn't up there, but this is just something that we have to put forth here, because we're always trying to put the blame on somebody else. Why we're not worshiping God the way we're supposed to be worshiping, and why we have fallen away, why we have fallen short of the glory of God. It's no one's fault but your own. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Let's keep reading there in 36. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." And it says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded," in Romans chapter 8, verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And the answer, who can separate us? What can separate us? Nothing. Nor nobody. So let's quit putting the blame out on someone else when we're not living the way we're supposed to be living. Let's quit doing nothing and start doing something. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. "As nothing yet possessing all things," we need to accept this. "As sorrowful yet always," not sometimes, but always "rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things." Oh, wowsy, wowsy me. No, not wowsy, wowsy you. You should be rejoicing. You are a child of God. You should be walking around with your head held high. Yes, I know that you just lost a good family member and you love them dearly, but rejoice. Rejoice, because you still have your life and you still can be able to tell someone else about Jesus Christ and the love that God had for the world, that He gave His only Son, that you may have, or they may have, a right to the tree of life by having their sins washed away in the water of grave of baptism. Yes, if they're sorry, sorry with them. If they're happy, be happy with them. But remember this, you don't necessarily have to walk around with a smile on your face to rejoice. It's an inside thing. And when you can rejoice inside, you don't have to worry about what man is going to say when he's looking from the outside. Nothing greater affects our life as the gospel. Nothing. Nothing at all. In Acts chapter 22, verse 16, you may be here today and you understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you've never had your sins washed away. What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? The answer should be nothing. Shouldn't be waiting on anything. You should be ready and willing to turn your life over to God, realizing what sin is. James says, sin. This is what it is. To him that knoweth to do right and do it wrong, therefore to him it is sin. You know what it is and you know what you need to do about it. Acts chapter 22 verse 16, and now why are you waiting? Why are you doing nothing? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Very simple. Very simple. And once you're baptized, you need to live a life that is faithful unto God. There may be someone here this morning that's already a Christian, but yet you've strayed away from the fold. And you want to come back. That opportunity is yours. That opportunity is yours. You know you need to make a confession. You know you need to repent. That opportunity is yours. Don't sit back and do nothing. But if you don't want a life of happiness, you don't want a life of peace, you do not want a life that's pleasing to God, this is what you can do. You can just sit back and do nothing and be lost. And I can rest assured to you that God will let you do that. He's not going to make you do anything. But if you want to do nothing, it's your choice. I called my nephew one day and I asked him what he was doing. He said, nothing. He said, when I finish doing this nothing, I'm going to do some more nothing. We got many Christians that are the same way. They're content with doing nothing. There's a lot of work to be done. We shouldn't depend on one man to do all the work. We have four elders here, and it's not the elders' responsibility to do all the work. We as Christians should be working hand in hand, one with another, and quit sitting back and doing nothing. If you're here this morning, you're subject to the invitation. The opportunity is yours to come and to make your confession. That if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism, and start doing something. If you're already Christian and you need to get your life right, the opportunity is yours to come as well. If we stand and sing the invitation hymn, we ask you to please come.